Guar.
Guar.
What's up, Robbie?
Not much. How are you guys?
Very good, my friend. It's a beautiful day here in Cabot, Arkansas. So we are ready to talk a little red-white game, a little baseball. So you want to start football or baseball? You choose.
Oh, man, how about we start let's start with football. That's what everybody cares about right now, right?
So they say. Yeah, it's a big one. For many people, this will be their first opportunity to see anything of this Brett Bielema coach football team. Hashtag 50K Hogs. They are pushing for 50,000 at this game. And
I want to ask Robbie, too. Do you see, in the old days, it used to be just some kind of controlled scrimmage and guys could kind of, homeless people could wander in and out of the stadium. Do we concentrate too much because Alabama puts 90,000 people in the stadium, and somehow the size of your spring game crowd has become a defining characteristic for how big and effective and important your program is? Do we concentrate too much on what's happening in the stands and not enough about what's going on the field?
Of course we do, but this is the SEC, and bigger is always better no matter where you are. So that's just the way life is in the conference. But, no, yeah, it's really interesting. It seems like this phenomenon of you know, really massive-sized spring game crowds has been probably, about the last decade or so, you know, where it's really been kind of an emphasis. And you're right, and Arkansas obviously is making it a big emphasis for, you know, for the Brett Bielema debut, I guess, this year. He's the one that brought it up, you know, talking about he wants 50,000 in the stadium, and you know, it's a campaign they started about a week ago, and they've been pushing it really hard, and it'll be really interesting to see if they actually get 50,000. Although something tells me, the conspiracy theorist in me tells me, whether there's only 35,000 or whatever it is in the stadium on Saturday, the crowd size is going to be listed at 50,000. So I guess
close
we'll
enough.
Find out.
Hashtag close enough. We'll go with that.
Hashtag close enough. There you
Robbie
go.
Robbie has written the words announced crowd before, just a caveat in the story.
Yeah. It is funny. It's sort of a running joke among the media members. It is quite amusing. Yeah, I mean, because you can get a pretty good feel when you've done this long enough. You get a good feel for what an actual crowd is. We do have breaking news from ABC. They're reporting that they have this is a guy talking about he boxed with the suspect.
Yeah,
okay,
now that's what we're down to.
I misread that.
I once
cut his hair.
They brought in the guy's trainer who said, "I told him to murder Razam Rock."
I told him to catch that chicken. I told him to blow anything up.
I got a crap lightning.
It's been fascinating stuff. I've been up with the 6-month-old most of the night, so I've been glued to this stuff. It's you can't turn away, even though a lot of it's kind of ridiculous. You can't turn away. But did you guys catch the uncle press conference, by the way?
No, he had a press conference.
Oh, missed that.
Oh, the uncle's press conference was fantastic.
What did he say?
Oh, he was basically calling them losers and ripping them up and down and left and right and telling them that he needs to turn himself in and ask for forgiveness and that he shamed his family and he shamed his country. Oh, it was unbelievable television.
You shame all of Chechnya.
Yeah, make sure you catch that. Make sure you catch that.
I need to check that out. Okay.
That's got to be a little, I mean, what they did, of course, was, hey, I mean, yeah, what else can you say? If you're related to those guys at some point in time.
Did you see the story too? And I hate to get off topic here, but I mean, this is.
Yeah.
I know this is going to be hard for some people to accept. There are more important things than college football.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is one of those few times where we have to break format. But there was a story that came out this morning as well. The guy who was sort of the, I mean, of course, you had the three victims, of course. But as far as the injured go, he was sort of the poster guy for the injured. He had both of his legs blown off below the knee. They had to amputate. And apparently, as soon as he came to, he's heavily drugged up. And the first thing he said, he wanted a pad and paper and a pen. And he said this. He saw the guy face to face, and they put the bag down right in front of him. And then 2 or 3 minutes later is when it blew up.
Yeah.
So he saw the guy, and he wanted to help ID him immediately. That was the first thing out of his. You know, that he did when he woke up when he came to, but that was an unbelievable thing. That is an image that will stay with me for the rest of my life. That's one of those things you just can't unsee, and you got the guy walking next to him trying to hold one of his arteries shut. I mean, it's just,
No doubt. Anyway. No doubt. Shocking. But
scary stuff.
No,
and anybody who's got any connection to Boston, or even if you don't, I mean, just as an American, it's scary stuff. I've got a cousin, Robbie, that is a senior at MIT, and I'm assuming she's not finished her classwork yet and has not headed back home to California. So, I haven't heard from her yet. I texted this morning. I know, you know, there hasn't been any more reports of any violence, so I'm assuming she's safe. But, boy, it's been scary, scary times for that community.
Yeah, my wife's grandparents live up there, and she also has an uncle and an aunt and a couple cousins up there. And it's you know, after being up there a couple times, you know how big Boston is and how spread out it is. Just just the factor or the thought that that city is shut down today. I mean, that's just, that's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing.
It really is. Absolutely. Well, the good thing is we do have sports as a distraction from all the sad and serious things that go on in the world. And obviously this weekend in Fayetteville is truly, I mean, it's not to be, I don't think you can really overstate the case. This can be it's a big weekend, and it looks like the weather's going to be good. And I know folks around here are going to be enjoying the baseball and the football combination. From a football standpoint, for those who do turn out, whether it's 50,000 or 5,000, what do you anticipate seeing? The one thing we're all excited about, I think, is seeing the best against the best, which is something we have not always had the chance to see in spring games.
Yeah, that's going to be the great thing. You know, and there's different coaches have different ways to do it, and I think we've seen all different ways here at Arkansas. And I know one thing Petrino tried to do was, you know, split the teams up, you know, evenly and then go play a game. Well, this isn't going to be quite that. What it's going to be is it sounds like it's going to be the first team offense versus the first team defense in the first half. You know, they're going to play those groups and let them get after it. So that's good. You know, you're going to see the best that Arkansas has right now going at it. And so I'm really interested to see, you know, what they look like, especially, you know, on the lines. You know, how does Arkansas's offensive line, you know, handle the defensive line? Because we believe the defensive line is the strength of this team. Well, let's see if they can show it. Obviously, you can't hit the quarterback, so it's not exactly a full-scale game, so you're going to miss that element of it. But, you know, I want to see how well this team can run the ball. This has been their emphasis all preseason. Can they really run the ball some effectively against his defense? So that's one thing to look for out of the many things to look for on Saturday.
Yeah, it is always struck me as funny when a spring game is finished, Robbie, and if you see, let's say you see the Arkansas first team offense put up 35 points in the first half, do you come away with it going, oh, man, our defense is going to be horrible this next year? Or do you think, wow, it is a great – I mean, it's a – circular logic takes over at some point, and you can really kind of frustrate yourself.
Well, Robbie, I said the same thing you said, too. I mean, just to get back to that is that, you know, you do know that this defensive line is solid. You do know that's the one part of the you know, the defensive side of the ball that's proven. So, like you said, if the offensive line can hold up to that and run the ball effectively and protect the passer, even if it's only for the passer to be slapped or touched, it certainly would be a step in the right direction, or at least encouraging for those of us who are hoping for some offensive continuity.
Yeah, and the best thing, if you're a fan, the best thing you can see is a really good battle going on. You know, you see the offensive line winning some plays. You see the defensive line winning some plays. You see receivers, you know, making catches over corners, and then corners going back and making plays the other way. You know, so if you get that, you get a sense that you've got a competitive team. You've got a team that really is going after each other, and they're determined to get better and, you know, go after an opponent in the fall. So I think that's what you're looking for here. Nobody expects a finished product, you know, and I think Chris Ash, the defense coordinator, said it best last night. He said, you know, have we improved in 15 practices? No doubt. Are we ready to play an SEC game? No way. So I think that's where they are right now in the transformation process, and that's fair. You know, their goal going into the spring was just make improvements every day and then carry that into the off season. And the coaches, you know, they feel like they've done that, and I think that's important. You know, when you're here for your first spring, you're just getting used to everybody. You want everybody to get used to you. You need to make some strides, and they feel like they've done that this spring.
It will be interesting for me to see, too, the intensity level that's there. The Petrino coach teams, while they played extraordinarily well, especially were a lot of execution-based stuff. I mean, you looked at a lot of moving parts, executed perfectly. You know, he had his scoring plays in mind, those kinds of things. You get the sense with Coach Bielema that there's a lot of intensity that's brought to the table. And so while the execution may be slightly different, the intensity that's there is going to be one of the big byproducts of what's going to happen.
Absolutely, and he's mentioned it several times this preseason. Just, you know, he keeps saying, you know, we want to test their manhood.
Right.
So I think that's what you're getting. Not that, you know, Arkansas football didn't try to be physical in the past, but you can see that it's just they're trying to make it more of a mentality now, especially on both sides of the lines, you know, because that's what's going to win football. We've seen Alabama do it. We've seen LSU do it. We know that Arkansas is trying to do it now under Bielema. So he's talked a lot about testing their manhood this spring, and it's something I'm writing about for tomorrow's paper. You know, some of the drills they've tried in practice, trying to become a power-running team. All of this is wrapped around that mentality of trying to become a strong physical team and testing your manhood each play and each week.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too. You can be one of the things that Coach Bielema, I think, has really kind of driven home to the fans in general. You can be a power run team and not be a one-dimensional team. you can, you know what I mean? It, while power running game may be.
It's like MMA, Bill.
Is
I can't believe I'm going to compare something to MMA, but it's like if you're
where
a wrestler.
Where did this come from?
Well,
you were sitting over there thinking about this.
If you're a wrestler first, that doesn't mean you can't occasionally throw in a nice punch or two and, you know, maybe a little mix in a little jiu-jitsu as you're prone to do with some of your dates on Friday. Hey!
Going to the jiu-jitsu.
I just compared something to MMA in a favorable way.
I thought you were being anti-Semitic, but now I understand.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu, I see.
So
we're going to see some MMA tomorrow? Wait, I'm confused. Is that happening?
Well, you want to see battles in the trenches, my friend. That's as good as it gets. So, anyway, Robbie Neiswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau joining us as we talk legitimate things and some nonsense as well. The game is being televised, by the way, for those of you who are not going to be able to attend, locally here in Central Arkansas on Comcast Cable 207. And with Cox Advanced TV being one of the sponsors, or presenting sponsor, I guess, they will also be showing it in the northwest part of the state. So if you will not be able to attend, you will be able to do that. But there is a lot going on. We've talked about it all week. The Razor Fest event going on, north, south, and east concourse areas. The Broyles Complex opens at 8 o'clock, and the Razor Fest stuff starts at 10 a.m., goes up to kickoff at 2 o'clock, and the game, of course, can be heard here on The Buzz, and that is a prelude, of course, to the baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we've got baseball, softball, and volleyball, as well as a spring game going on this weekend in Fayetteville, so you got just about something for everyone this weekend.
Gets a little volleyball.
Yeah, spring against Kentucky.
Mm.
Big matchup. Texas A&M and Arkansas this weekend in baseball. Texas A&M not performing at maybe Texas A&M historic levels, but that's good news for Arkansas, a team that's trying to bounce back from being no hit for the first time maybe in school history. Is that what I read?
Yeah, maybe. Nobody knows for sure at this point, but, you know, just talking to people, trying to get a sense, nobody really can remember anything like that.
Yeah, it's like, what about before 1960? It was like, well, nobody cared about college baseball then.
Did college baseball exist? I don't. Who knows? But it may have been a historical day in the bad sense for Arkansas. And, you know, we got to talk to a couple players yesterday. I thought Dominic Piccicello probably put it best. You know, he was asked about what it's like to get no hit, and he's kind of going through an explanation, and he kind of stops and goes, "Well, it sucks, really." and that's all you need to say, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, and the thing is, too, you know, I saw somebody quoted us. They were asking about, you know, how did it feel and what were you thinking about. And the whole point is, it's like, well, we think we're going to get a hit the entire time until the third out of the ninth. I mean, then at that point you realize, well, gee, we didn't get one.
Yeah, exactly. And they were disappointed. But, you know, I think Dave Van Horn's probably putting this in the proper perspective. You know, they understand that they've been struggling here lately, and they understand that Nebraska trip was bad, but that was a bad day when you look at it. Okay, it was a bad day.
Yeah.
So how do they handle it from here? We know historically, you know, everybody wanted Arkansas to you know, be number one all season long. That's not happening this year. But the good news is, in college baseball, it doesn't matter until the postseason. So these guys aren't panicking. You know, I crunched some numbers earlier this week. You know, Arkansas right now is 25-14. Well, last year at this time, they were 27-12. You know, so after 39 games, they're not far off from their pace. And it's the same thing with the other World Series teams that have been here. In 2009, they were 27-12, and in 2004, they were 26-13. So the point is, you know, Arkansas does have some issues right now. They've got to get them resolved, but they have shown in their College World Series years that they've been able to bounce back from some of these problems. So the key now at this point is, what do they do from here on out, and are they strong when they get into the postseason?
You know, you made a good point, Robbie. We talked about this in the first hour. I said that was one of those horrible trips. It just was a thing. The thing in Nebraska, you're up and back. It was a double hitter. It was cold. It's like the really handsome guy waking up with a fatty. You think, what happened? Can I just eliminate
it's worse
that
than my MMA
last
analogy.
Night? Can we just act like this never happened? And that's what Dave Van Horn needs to do with the Razorback baseball team. Look, that was a bad day. We flew up.
Yeah.
We had a little too much. Good thing we didn't tell her our real name. Now we're on a plane back out of town. Boom. Done. I've been to Omaha before.
Look, if you're going to go to Lincoln, it's a great place to have a tequila bender. There's no question.
But you know what? You mentioned flying on the plane. They didn't fly on the plane. What they did is, you know, after the LSU series on Monday morning, they got on the bus, went on the bus ride all the way up there.
Are you kidding me? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, then you play a doubleheader on Tuesday, and you get on the bus, and you come back. So, you know, they weren't trying to make excuses, but when you start to add some of that in there, and you mentioned the cold weather and just the, you know, crappy day up there, and it just didn't feel right for them, and they obviously didn't play like that. They looked right, and you know, so let's see what they look like now when they're back home this weekend against Texas A&M. They've got a chance to win some games, and in all honesty, the back half of their SEC schedule right now, it's a lot lighter because you've got teams like Texas A&M. Nobody they're playing is above 500 in conference
Auburn.
Right now, by the way.
So yeah, they've got still Auburn, vying for the dubious Triple Crown of the worst last place in all three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky, Texas A&M, and there's one more I can't think of. But, you know, so they've got a chance to win some games and to close the year strong. Let's see
Georgia?
What they can do with it. Yeah. Georgia, that's it.
The nation.
Robbie, yeah, not the nation. Not the nation, south of Chesney. Robbie Nyswanger, join us of Stevens Media, Arkansas News Bureau, rather. But anyway, yeah, sorry. Hopefully they can bounce back. I'm still trying to get past the whole analogy.
Doesn't that make it
does. Ask Dominic Ficicello if it's in any way similar, you think. No, maybe you better not ask him that.
Yeah, that probably won't happen. I value my job.
I can't see Robbie at Dave Van Horn's news gag.
That's not a good guy
coach,
to ask.
Was the Nebraska series kind of like the good-looking guy waking up with a fatty?
Let's move on to the pitching rotation this weekend. Aston Stanek Fan, no changes this weekend. Maybe I missed it. I know he didn't start, but did Poche throw it all in Nebraska?
No, he didn't throw it in Nebraska, and he hasn't thrown, I think, since he was yanked out of the New Mexico midweek, and that's something where, you know, I didn't think about during the press conference yesterday, but afterward I'm starting to look at the stats and everybody's stats. I'm like, wait a minute, I haven't seen Poche in a little while. So I'm not sure what the situation is there. We know he's been a midweek guy for them. He's pitched pretty well in the midweek. I'm not sure why he didn't pitch in Nebraska. Next chance we get, I think we'll see if we can figure out what's going on with him.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's in a doghouse or if he's healthy or what the deal is. He's had some good moments, though, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure why exactly being in the doghouse, but he was yanked pretty quickly out of that New Mexico game, and maybe there was something there. But, you know, I don't want to speculate too much because I really don't know. I mean, he may be injured. There might be a slight injury or something like that. Who knows? Or maybe it just didn't. Maybe he just didn't factor into the plans for the Nebraska trip for whatever reason. So,
or maybe he was told not to throw that knuckle curve, and he just continued to throw it, and they had to bench him.
I know.
Yeah, you know. We'll find out together.
He needs to be in the Nuke Lelouch zone there, breathing through his eyelids.
Yes, do not think, just throw meat. Right. So do you have any information other than the record? What can you tell me about A&M offensively, pitching staff?
Well, I know that their top hitter, he has not played in the last couple games because of a knee injury. I'm not sure. I think he's a day-to-day kind of deal, so I would expect that he's going to play, but we'll see. We'll see what happens tonight. Their second-best hitter, I believe, is sidelined with mono. So you're talking about a team that hasn't been with its, you know, it's been without its top couple hitters, and they've struggled lately.
Speaking of waking up next to the wrong girl.
Well, I was going to say, one skank takes down the entire team.
You stop. Sorry. I kicked one guy in the knee, and I made out with the other.
Anyway. Because half the starting rotation.
Can't take anything seriously around here. What about pitching staff? Looks we got a sophomore and a freshman for Friday and Saturday. Relatively young on the mound.
Yeah, relatively young on the mound. They've done a pretty good job. I noticed they got hammered pretty good at Mississippi State against Mississippi State last week, and got swept by the Bulldogs. So, you know, they've been struggling here lately. But I still think that they're a pretty decent program. So. If Arkansas is not ready this weekend, Texas A&M is going to win some games. So, you know, the Razorbacks have to figure out how to do a better job at the plate. I think that they're starting to solve some of their defensive problems, putting McAfee back at shortstop, and they've moved Ficicello back to first base now, and they've got Ferris, who's supposed to start at second now. I think they feel better about that infield right now. So if they can get the defensive problems, you know, kind of solved, and not commit as many errors, I think that's a good thing for this team. Now they can just figure out how to get some hits and get some runs.
Robbie Nyswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau.
Sorry, you're looking at me like I can't speak now.
I left you guys speechless there, didn't I?
Bill did. Bill's really making me uncomfortable, but in a good way.
I've been told I'm on a 5-minute speaking probation.
That's right. Well, I'm also watching the little chihuahua that could, Dan Abrams on ABC, talking to Stephanopoulos and Diane Sawyer, who have a combined heart rate of about 34.
He's so excitable,
and he's kind of relaying the whole deal. I've never been so distracted doing a broadcast in my entire life.
Well, it's a major national event.
It is.
It's a major international event. It was a horrific tragedy. These two are the guys that are responsible for it, and one of them, as you point out, met the kind of demise that you can only dream up for an evil person like that,
right.
And that is shot, blown up, and run over by a car.
Right.
And that by his brother.
Yes, by his co-conspirator,
right,
no less.
Exactly.
Yes. So. Anyway.
Anyway.
Well, Robbie, busy weekend up there. The first game tonight, is going to be heard here on The Buzz, of course. And we have a 6:30 start, 6:35, I guess, first pitch, 6:05 pregame. Tomorrow after, again, the red-white game at 2 o'clock, we got a 7:30 start, so 7 o'clock pregame, and then 12:30 shortly after the end of the Sunday Buzz.
Yes.
Stay tuned to the Buzz and listen to.
May I compliment Robbie in one sense?
You can compliment him in a couple sentences.
Robbie is technically a good writer. You know? No, you are.
You mean from a technical standpoint?
Right, exactly.
Technically, well, like he wins on a technicality.
No. It's not like it's no headbutt in the seventh round.
Okay.
That ends the fight.
Right.
As much as, no, he writes very well. It just happens to be about sports.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of bad writing that occurs today.
Robbie, I can't tell you how
there we go.
Excited I am for you to get a comment from Bill, and how hurt I am that I've never gotten one. So. And I've known Bill a long time, so that's fine. But, man, appreciate the time as always. We'll try to be a little more mature next time we talk to you, but I can't promise you anything whatsoever.
Hey, who needs maturity? Come on now.
Good point.
We don't need maturity. Exactly.
Brother, you got a great weekend and a busy one at that, so enjoy it.
All right. Take care, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Appreciate you. Robbie's so good. What a good sport.
I did make a good point, though, about one guy being out with mono.
Yeah.
You point out that's how one angry girlfriend can take a whole baseball team down.
There's no telling.
You know?
Oh, boy, there's so many things to be said in the break. I can't wait till we hit a timeout here.
Okay.
Yep, that's it. Let me tell you about what's happening at Landers Ford down in Benton. Oh, boy, let me tell
yes,
you.
Yes, I may or may not be back in the next segment, depending on what you choose.
I find you very amusing, Bill Vickery.
I amuse you?
It's Bill Vickery.
I amuse you.